This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. 877-217-5757. And I think we have lost our guest for at least a moment. So see what we can do. We got him back. Okay. Colin Woodward. Colin Woodward is an award-winning journalist, New York Times bestselling author of American Nations. And he has returned with Union, the struggle to forge the story of the United States nationhood. It tells the story of a struggle to create a national myth for the United States, one that could hold its rival regional cultures together and forge for the first time an American nationhood, a fascinating study of a fractured country. Colin Woodard examines how the myth of our national unity was created and fought over by five men, George Bancroft, William Gilmore Sims, Frederick Douglass, Woodrow Wilson, and Frederick Jackson Turner, and how it continues to affect us today. The book, again, is Union. And good morning, Colin Woodard.
Hello, pleasure
yes,
to be
sir.
Here.
What about how this is analogous to what we're facing today with the division in our ranks?
Well, I think people are definitely today wondering what holds us together as a nation. You know, we have red states and blue, MAGA and Black Lives Matter, these fundamental disagreements over values, over who is really American or deserves to be eligible to be, over monuments and flags and symbols from our past, and our disagreements on this have now spilled out into the streets. So it's a very poignant moment where people are asking these questions. You know, what held us together in the past, and how did we lose it, and can we achieve those things again? And it's complicated by the fact from sort of a previous book I did, American Nations, that from the beginning we were sort of very different countries, right? The different colonial projects, you know, New England or the Spanish Southwest or the Dutch area around New York City or the Appalachian Backcountry or the lowlands of the Deep South, they were all settled by people with completely different ethnographic characteristics, religious ones, cultural ones, who are building very different societies with fundamentally different values. And putting that all together after the victory in the War of Independence and creating a country was a very difficult task. And Union tells the story of how a story was created that might hold these disparate regions together to create some kind of actual shared nationhood.
You focus on Woodrow Wilson, who was the president a century ago, and in retrospect, the president who was in office during a pandemic and during a world war. He was a segregationist, maybe a man of his time, but not of this time. But when you look back at his legacy, is it immense, or is it scarred by some of the stands he took?
Oh, I mean, very much scarred. When you start reading Woodrow Wilson's letters and dig into his biography to understand him, it's shocking to me that he's gotten a free pass as long as he has from history, because his white supremacy was shocking even in that time period and controversial, even in the 1920s and 1910s. And the reason he's in the book is there was this struggle in creating a story of United States nationhood between a civic national definition. In other words, an idea that what holds us together as Americans isn't a shared past, but a shared commitment to the ideals in the Declaration of Independence about, you know, that humans being born fundamentally equal and having unalienable rights and the importance of self-government and liberty. But there was a counter movement, of which Woodrow Wilson was the capstone, that said, no, really the United States is the homeland of the only race that's capable of self-government, and that's in the first version of it, the Anglo-Saxon race. And Woodrow Wilson was an inheritor of this tradition and brought it to the White House in terrible fashion. I mean, he was the first deep Southerner to be elected to the presidency after the Civil War. His father had been the leading figure in the Confederate church, a Presbyterian church, and had written influential documents trying to argue that slavery was ordained by God. And Woodrow Wilson was an unabashed white supremacist throughout his life, including his pre-presidential history he wrote of the United States, which championed the Ku Klux Klan and argued that, you know, the effort to allow African Americans to exercise political rights during Reconstruction in the South was a failure. And when he got to office, he segregated the federal government, right? The government that had won the Civil War was segregated by race, and he championed the first Hollywood blockbuster film that came out during his first term, The Birth of a Nation, a film based on a novel by one of his best friends and graduate school buddies, Thomas Dixon Jr., that celebrated the Ku Klux Klan's reign of terror against African Americans to stop them from exercising their political rights in the mm-hmm. South. I mean, it was it's absolutely staggering record. He ended up showing this film at a time when massive street protests were happening to block the film from being shown in cities across the country. This at a time when the First Amendment, the courts hadn't ruled that the First Amendment protected art, and so municipalities and states all the time banned theater productions and movies and things if they were considered to be bad for the public. And so the movie was threatened that it was going to be banned in major cities and therefore would fail because it had cost so much money to make. But Woodrow Wilson saved it by airing it in the White House to his cabinet. And then the following day, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, who'd been in the Klan himself, showed it for members of Congress and for his fellow Supreme Court justices. So what I'm saying is during Woodrow Wilson's presidency, these white supremacist ideas were actually dominant for a couple of decades, you know, that it eclipsed our civic national traditions, and that awful alternative view of American nationhood goes way back, as far back as our more idealistic version. And that's part of the story that's told in Union, is the struggle between those two visions and how it is that under Woodrow Wilson, one of them became dominant across the entire country, both North and South and West.
The book is Union from Colin Woodard. Celebrated historian for good reason with a track record to show, and Woodrow Wilson was president at this time exactly one century ago. Born in Staunton, Virginia, but elected from the state of New Jersey, and he, like Donald Trump, lost his home state. In fact, our current president is the first president to lose his home state since Woodrow Wilson in an election. There have been other candidates who lost who have been defeated in their home state, including Al Gore, But Woodrow Wilson was a hero in the South. The main parkway, the main drag in Jackson, Mississippi, is still the Woodrow Wilson Parkway in the capital of the Magnolia State. What do you make of that?
Well, sure. Well, his reputation hasn't fully caught up with him because, for whatever reason, many historians have ignored the...
Well, I'm saying that his reputation is fully known, and they like the fact that he was a segregationist.
Yeah, well, to this extent that that's still the case, that's part of our unfortunate legacy, is that people like, you know, Forrest, the leader of the Ku Klux Klan, could actually have monuments still standing for them. It shows the power of this, you know, ethno-national vision is not a trivial one. And indeed, it's, you know, still something that we're fighting today. And it's not something that, you know, beyond the immorality of that ethno-nationalist division, today, unlike the 1920s, as a practical form, you could never govern the United States that way. The demographics of our country would never allow it. It's only a program or a strategy that can lead to dissolution or even, you know, civil conflict. So it's something that it's nigh time that our country and our federation, confront and move beyond.
Well, Cullen, some would argue that the current president shares a lot of Woodrow Wilson's beliefs.
There are certainly parallels. I mean, the demagogic power of tapping on those things, and in many ways, the President Trump has indeed tapped on ethno-national sentiment and the insinuations that certain classes of Americans, based on their ethnicity or religion, somehow aren't really Americans, that constitutional rights and protections really apply to a narrow person is insinuated regularly, that members of Congress born in the United States should go back to their countries, in other words, the countries of their grandparents and stuff. And those are from that same spirit that Woodrow Wilson's governing philosophy came from and many before him. So yes, he's drawing on a tradition that has a lot of reverberating power and goes deep back into our history. And it's, you know, something that, you know, I was a, earlier in my career, I was a Balkan and East European history major in university, and then spent my 20s and most of the 1990s in Eastern Europe and the Balkans during the collapse of communism and the ethnic conflicts and dissolutions of federations that came thereafter, and the rise of demagogues like Slobodan Milosevic and others. And, you know, that a lot of the things that they're drawing on that drove them to political power, you can definitely see the echoes and parallels with Donald Trump as he was rising in 2016. And for those of us who've lived in the old world with its nationalisms and dangers, it's been a disconcerting thing to watch in our own country.
Lastly, we only have about 45 seconds, but you do focus on Frederick Douglass, and you have a much higher opinion of him.
He was a pivotal figure because the civic national tradition was created by a historian named George Bancroft, who believed God had chosen the United States to carry forth human freedom and these values, and believed we were destined to it. And the problem with that was, because he believed we were destined, he thought that we'd already achieved all those things, that we just needed to sit back and watch as God or history's plan unfolded. Frederick Douglass is the person who fought for those things, saying, look, Americans, you are failing to achieve your ideals, that these are unrealized, aspirational ideals that you must confront. You must confront the hypocrisies. He was speaking from a powerful place because he had escaped slavery in Maryland.
All right, we got to roll, but the book is Union. Pick up a copy from Cullen Woodard, fabulous historian. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services.